Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam One Black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho living in New York City, whose pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rob, one agender, pansexual, feminist with a fatty.
Mm-hmm.
Pronouns they, them, daddy.
Ooh,
that rhymes. Call me from 106 in Park, Freestyle Fridays. I'm here.
The show is canceled.
I'm canceling.
You're just going to show up at 106 in Park. All right. So on this here show, we have two types of episodes. There are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my rotating co-hosts, talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of us come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And this episode is an interview episode. And oh my God, guys. It is so cute.
It is the cutest.
Yeah. I'm very happy that this will be releasing the day before Valentine's Day so they can just rub all of their love
right on ours,
in
on,
your face.
On ours.
You're single. You're single. You're broke. You're ugly.
You're lonely. You're awkward. You're gay.
Cries in corner about the sad reality of my life. Yeah, so on this episode, we have Z and Mia, who are two-thirds of Marsha's Plate Black Trans Talk podcast. If you haven't listened to that show, definitely listen to that show because it's good as fuck. And if you haven't listened to this show, continue listening because this interview is good as fuck. And they talk about like the idiosyncrasies of dating another black trans person.
Yes.
And just like...
It's important.
Love.
Love. Oh, we already did that one.
We can't do that again.
Yeah, no. They're going to actually sue us.
Keisha Cole, boom, 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 boom,
boom. Can we just
boom,
do that boom, for the rest of February? When you record Rebecca, you try to get
sued by Keisha Cole.
Yeah.
Okay. We're doing that because this is the Black Love special of February. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have cool Black people talking about different perspectives as it relates to love. All kinds of love, you know? I'm not singing Keisha Cole, though.
So. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'll sing it for you. Not right now. It's going to just spring somewhere in here.
And before we get into the chunk of the episode, we are going to do our historical Bay of the Week segment because it's Black History Month. And we have to let y'all niggas know. The niggas that, you know, we love over time. But if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so that we can see it. And the hashtag PodIn so that other people can see that you're listening. And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this show right here, we would love to. So please to book us, send us a line to IHUpodcast@gmail.com. Rob, who were you crushing on in the past?
In the past, yeah. In my past life.
Yeah, exactly. When you were a grain of sugar.
Oh my. Thank you so much, Sam.
Yeah.
But in the past and also the present. Well,
is this person still alive?
They just passed away in October. So this is Entezake Shange. So if you don't know who that is, she is the person who wrote the play for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow isn't enough, mm-hmm. Which was adapted into a movie by Tyler Perry, mm-hmm. which did it fairly good justice. Mm-hmm. So she was born October 18th, 1948 in Jersey, but yeah, she passed away last October at the age of 70. So her birth name was Paulette Linda Williams, but she adopted a Zulu name. Okay, cool. So she adopted
white names is trash. Samantha.
Our slave names.
Exactly.
Well, you're slam now, so you adopted a cooler name. Not a Zulu name, but a cooler name.
A Kulu name, if you will. Sorry
cooler.
To all Zulu people who I've just disrespected. All of Southern Africa has turned off the podcast. I'm so sorry. I just like puns.
Which are not punny. So she adopted a Zulu name in the 1970s. So her first name, Entezake, it means she who comes with her own things.
Mm-hmm.
And her last name, Shange, is one who walks like a lion.
Mm.
I'm like, damn, that shit. I be hearing some names.
Yeah.
Especially like within the Black Panther Party.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were like Arabic, though.
Mm-hmm.
But like having like that is a strong ass fucking name. Yo.
That it hits. twice.
Like, she who comes with her own things. Like, I don't need your things. I have my own. You can have them too, because we are full of abundance.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And that's what Black women have been doing since day one. Yeah. And she came with her own things when it came to this range.
And one of those things is a lion. Just pretty fucking cool.
Like, a one who walks like a lion. Like, you walk into the room and you demand attention. I feel like I walk like a lion.
I can see that.
Because, you know, I walk like a... You cannot fuck with me.
Yeah.
So I might change my last name from Simple to Shingay. I hope that I'm even pronouncing that right. And feel free to chin check me real fast, because I didn't hear the an actual pronunciation. This is like a transliteration of her name that I got here. And I've never heard it pronounced in real life. But anyway, she grew up in segregated St. Louis. She was one of the first Black children to integrate into the city's all-white public schools, which reminds you that it was not that long ago.
Yeah.
Because she actually died recently, but she died young.
Just a generation ago, honestly.
So this shit is right there. That could have been your mama. She graduated from Barnard College in Manhattan. By then, she actually was married and divorced, or separated rather. But also, she had attempted suicide many times by that time. But, you know, minorities be dealing with depression.
Yes.
And it does not stop just because you're talented, because talented people kill themselves all the time. But thank God that she didn't. She actually found her voice as a poet. So she's a poet, award-winning playwright, and a Black feminist. Yes, feminism.
Yay.
So her most famous work, even though she did write nearly 50 plays, novels, and children books, but her most famous work was For Colored Girls. So that was written in 1976. So the characters were only addressed by the colors that they wore. So it was like a rainbow of colors, so red, green, blue, da da da. But they weren't referred to as names, only by the colors that they wore, like Lady Blue, Lady Red, which was also in itself like a pretty dope concept. So the story transcends class, covering oppression, domestic abuse, abandonment, misogyny, suicide ideation, and many other themes that are noted in the Black feminine experience and the marginalized experience. So she was nominated for a Tony, a Grammy, and an Emmy. And it was the second play to appear on Broadway by an African-American woman, which was, the first one was A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry. So she coined the phrase choreopoem, and that means like a series of poetic monologues that are accompanied by dance movement and music. So it's very theatrical, but in a very fluid way. There's a lot of movement in a lot of her plays, especially for Colored Girls. And she frequently worked with Black theaters to stage her work. So shout out to supporting Black
community
business. Yes, absolutely.
Kwanzaa dat.
So towards the end of her life, she did struggle with substance abuse and bipolar disorder and depression, and ultimately passed away at the early age of 70 and was survived by a daughter. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's unfortunate how that happens, but shit do be happening, because niggas do be humans, though. That is like the real term. No matter how talented and how successful, especially being a Black woman, the health disparities, they transcend class. So that was really trash, and we really lost a great writer. But For Colored Girls definitely lives on, resonates very heavily with, I mean, women in general, but definitely Black women, Black feminine people, Black people who have to deal with the experience of being viewed as a woman and all the things that come with men. A lot of that, was focused on also the relativity to men as well. That movie was crazy.
I only saw it once and I don't remember much of it.
Well, the most, one of the most,
I remember it, like, there being like these traumatic moments where I was like, God damn.
Yes. And that the, I couldn't read the book because I was like, I'm not ready.
Too much trauma.
Very, the whole book is filled with it.
Yeah.
And you have to be in a good mental space to read something of that nature, even to watch the movie.
Yeah.
There was no trigger warning in that bitch. You just kind of went into it like, oh, okay, I didn't warn me about this shit.
It's kind of like the goofy meme, like, damn, bitch, you live like this? Like, for all Black women, it's like, yeah, we do, though.
We do, though. This really do be life, though. Like, these stories are things that Black women truly experience. So it was truly a work of feminism.
Yeah.
Really telling the stories of the people who cannot tell them. People in those situations, especially, like the rich woman who contracted AIDS and stuff. It's like you're silenced by all aspects and mostly by just being a Black woman, not just a woman and not just being Black, but by being a Black woman. There's the intersection was caught in that play.
Yeah.
So it's a classic feminist piece of work, yeah. And R.I.P.
R.I.P. to a very, very real one. Quick hoe of the week. Want to give a special shout out to Michael H, who paid us in the PayPal money to buy headphones, because last week we were like, we don't have any headphones. And you know what? We still don't. Do you enjoy my earwax and those earbuds, Rob?
It's actually delicious. I could feel it touching my brain. Better?
Well, you know, you gave up sugar, so you got to supplement it with something. Right?
Some other sugar.
Nah, he just gave that to us yesterday, so I haven't had a chance to place an order, but he was actually going to like do an in-store pickup too.
Nice.
Yeah, so I really, really appreciate that.
That is, thank you so much.
Yeah. If you want to be like Michael and also help support to sustain this podcast, you can do so by going to innerhoeuprising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly. Pay a Hoe Once takes you to our PayPal, which is also paypal.me/innerhoe, where you can give any amount of donation at any kind, any time you want, if you believe in time as a construct. If you don't, then just do it now or later. I don't know.
Whenever.
Nebulous concept. You can also, so if you do Pay a Hoe Monthly, that takes you to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. And if you're not familiar with Patreon, that is a monthly subscription type thing. So it's like, it's going to take out whatever you've pledged to donate every month. At the same time, so you can do something like $2 a month, which will give you early access to some of the events that we throw when we do ticketed events. And if you do $5 a month, you can get early access to events and then also whatever it is that we're planning. So we have a poll up on the Patreon right now, which is asking $5 and up patrons what kinds of content that they would like to see so far, because y'all just want me to do extra labor, of course. The newsletter is winning.
So lazy.
I'm not lazy. I just do mad shit.
You do mad shit.
And this
shit
is not... I don't get paid for doing this, guys.
You said that you wanted to do the newsletter.
I did say I wanted to do it, but then I wasn't thinking about how much work it would take.
Facts.
But I do want to do that kind of work. I just need to like actually commit to it and see that you want it.
If you pay us, it helps.
Yes, it does. Because, you know, that freelance life is not... You don't get paid that much to do this, though. I just want you to...
You gotta know that shit.
You don't get paid that much
to do
this.
We cute, but we ain't rich.
Yeah, that's a fact. But enough about my own personal poverty. I will, if the newsletter wins, which it will, I will actually do the newsletter this time. It looks like other things are kind of close, so we're considering doing two. But all of that will be settled out pretty shortly. But if you haven't voted yet, please vote, because we want your voices to matter. This is a hoocracy in some aspects. You can also donate any less or any more. So $1 a month to $1,000 a month, whatever you want.
To a zillion, if you ballin' like that.
Yeah, I want to see the bank account of somebody who has $1 zillion. If all of the billionaires became one mega billionaire,
they still wouldn't have $1 zillion.
What? I don't know.
They'd have just
what
several.
What is zillion?
They'd have
that's not a number.
Billion.
So
yeah, well, they'd have. They might may have a. Yeah, they'd have several billion. If you think about the relativity of how much $1 billion is,
yeah,
it'd just be several billion.
Would it not reach a trillion yet?
Maybe.
I think it would reach a
barely
trillion. Yeah, that's a consistent way to pay a hoe. Other ways you can help support this podcast, if monetarily is not your bag, you can write us an Apple Podcast review. You can write us a Stitcher review.
Nobody do those.
You can also, which that would be nice if you did it. You can also not write a review and just do the actual rating. You know, that
five
helps
stars
too. Exactly. Five stars only. Only. You can also tweet about us. You can retweet about us. You can respond to other people's tweets who are like, hey, what is a good podcast to listen to about us?
In a whole uprising without the G.
You can do that on Facebook also. You can do that on Instagram also. You can write up about us in your blog. Shout out to whoever wrote that article, because I didn't actually pick up the thing at Cosmo Magazine.
We gotta pick that shit up,
yeah,
and take mad pictures with our little ass blurb.
Yes,
that shit is hitting.
Yes,
dude.
Thank you for the journalist who wrote about us in Cosmo. Thank you to the journalist who wrote about Sex Trivia Sundays for the Bushwick Daily. That was really freaking cool. If you are a local New York City journalist and want to talk about the events that we do, that would be cool. You can also support us by coming to the events that we do. That would be really fucking
That'd
cool.
That'd be extra cool. Cover that shit.
Yeah. You can put the link to the events that we do or our podcast in your group chat with like all of your sorority sisters and things like that.
All your hoes.
Exactly. Whatever group chats
those.
You're in. Whatever group chats you're in.
Bro chat.
After you're done fucking your person for the night, you could just put the podcast on. and be like, oh shit, you heard this
and he's gonna be like, oh shit, I gotta go, this that feminist shit and I'm problematic and you kicking me out.
But just let him stay,
right?
But and cover listen. His mouth. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cover his mouth so he could take all of our black intersectional feminism.
You like this? Take this. That's what you gotta say to
you
him.
I literally just said that to you.
He's like, oh shit,
the tables have turned.
You can tell your coworker about us, you can tell your friends about us, or you can walk down the street wearing an Inner Hole Uprising shirt, which you can purchase at innerhaleuprising.com/merchandise. What's going fast? I think the crop tops are all almost out. We have smalls left.
Hitting time.
Yes, they're very cute.
I'm a pretty brolic guy. Mm-hmm. Decent titties and mm-hmm. a pretty wide back, and I fit a small.
You don't have a small. You have a medium large.
Wow, I've lied to you. I reneged this whole thing.
That's why they're sold out right now. I think you might have took the last one.
It's like a small because I'm so brolic. My fault.
Yeah, merchandise. Get it before it's sold out, mm-hmm. or sell it out yourself. Yes. Blah blah blah. Couple of events that are coming up. If you're coming to South by Southwest, which would be really cool, I would love to see you there. I'm going. I think me and the people with Tea with Queen and Jay are doing a podcast meetup, but more on that later. But if you are actually just going to be there, and you have like a pass, on March 13th, I'm doing a panel with Queen from Tea with Queen and Jay, Barry from Podcast in Color, and a very dope Howard PhD candidate named Landy Watley about Black sense and the way people talk and the fact that, you know, white people want to talk like Black people, but they don't fund Black sounding podcasts and things like that. And when podcasts are funded, they sound mad white and mad NPR and mad dry. But still, if you want to hire me, NPR, haha, do that. But yeah, so March 13th, 2019. Why did I say 2019?
Because it's important. People might still think
this
it's 2018.
Fucking year, guys, this year. 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. In the Onyx Ballroom. That panel is going down. It's called Where the Podcast Black Sense. Come the fuck through and now listen the fuck to this next segment.
fuck it.
The topic of the day. On today's episode, in our fuck it portion, here to tell us about their very own personal Black trans love story is one of the cutest couples in podcasting, if I must say, Mia and Z. So Mia Mix is from a small city called Waco. She knew she had to leave and find herself. So as soon as she graduated, she went to Clark University in Atlanta, where she was able to use her visibility at a panel on campus about LGBT and misconceptions about the community. She decided to come to Houston to finish her degree and concentrate, which worked out really well. And we're very happy that it worked out really well. And while getting her degree, she worked for a program that was started by Barack Obama that helps veterans, which was very near and dear to her heart because her mother is a disabled veteran. She has made it her lifelong journey to change negative perceptions that society has about LGBT people. She hopes with hard work and perseverance and prayer that she will accomplish these goals. And then we also have Z, who is a 22-year-old Afro-Latinx Native American man of trans experience. He grew up an elite athlete, that's really cool, and recently made his way into activism. He loves being a young Black free man in the world, and he is dedicated to change the future for queer people in America. And together they make up 2/3 of Marsha's Play It podcast, along with Diamond Styles, which is a show in which three friends come together every Thursday to share opinions and perspectives through a Black trans folks lens. They're all Houston-based digital strategists, Black feminists, civil rights advocates, and trans people of color, and they are all fine as fuck. I'm just gonna say that one more time. Welcome.
Thank you.
Of course. Cool. So just hopping right in, how did y'all two meet?
It's very millennial. We met on POF, which is funny because POF is basically they're LGBT, but they do not include the T. So if you're trans, they basically boot you off. So,
oh wow.
I don't know how we met there because we always got blocked. But we
this is some real like millennial but transphobic but Romeo and Juliet type
facts.
Shit.
I didn't get blocked, but she did.
Oh, you got blocked not too long ago. You always get blocked.
No, that's because I tried to pretend like I was a woman for coin wise.
Oh, wow.
But as a trans man on there, they just like, whatever. Like, they just leave it alone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But we basically just, I'm going to tell my part. We were on POF. I was man for woman, and she was woman for man. And I saw her, I came across her profile, and I swiped right. I was like, I swiped yes, and then I clicked on her profile, and I didn't know she was trans. And then I saw in her bio she was trans. I was like, oh, cool. And then I messaged her, are you into trans men? And she said yes, and then it went from there.
Oh, mad cute. That is so cute.
Yeah, and then we met at a movie theater, and this was when Dred, he had his dreads, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And he was still kind of antisocial, but I thankfully I got him out his shell. But after that, we just hung out a lot.
We smoked a lot. Had a lot of smoke sessions. Talked about shit.
That is so cute. Wait, what movie did you end up seeing?
What was it?
Oh,
I think we remembered, but I forgot again.
It was too much weed.
It's that relationship trivia question where you're like, you know,
I don't. I see so many movies. I do not remember what
that's
movie
all she
it was.
Wanna do is go to the movies.
Aww.
That's my thing.
She never gonna remember.
So was it like right after the movie date, y'all were like, okay, we should take this to the next step? Like, when did that transition happen?
Oh no.
It was a few smoke sessions in. We hung out.
We hung out a couple of times. He would come see me. We went out places, and
I would travel to her like 30 miles almost every day eventually.
What?
Went, like at one point.
Yeah, because I'm not going to go see. I'm sorry, I'm Southern. So if you want to see me, then you're going to come to me.
We don't even travel to different boroughs here.
Literally, right. I would come every day, like, and we would just smoke and chill and talk.
Yeah, and then we went out a couple of times, and we were driving to the I think we were driving to a club or to a bar or something, and then he just asked me, he was like, would you be my girlfriend? I was like, yeah.
It was one point where she was like, what, you don't want to go out in public with me or something like that. She was joking, but we did so many smoke sessions. She was just like, wait, we'll never go out.
Oh, so Mia, you thought that he was being like, oh, I just want to see you at nighttime, come through to the crib type of nigga?
Right, because I was going to say, baby, I can be out in the daylight. Don't do that.
That was the only time you wanted to hang out, though.
I mean, that was the only time that I wanted to hang out. But, you know, you have to ask these type of questions, especially being a trans woman. Those are some important things as far as showing public affection, because that's something that we lack from the cis male men that we date. So being dating a trans man, I was like, okay, well, a man of trans experience, I should say, I felt like, okay, let me give this a shot. Let's see how this works out in public, because most of the time when I was dating cis men, like, I study people's behavior really well, so I could tell that it was always going to be nervous, or they were always looking over their shoulder to see if somebody they knew, or walking two steps ahead or two steps behind. So, like, just those different things, I was like, you know, I deserve to be treated like the person that I am, like a queen. And if you're not going to treat me anything more than that, then, you know, I'm not going to be with you, because there's no reason to be ashamed of me. And if you can see me in the dark, then you can see me in the light. So once he decided to go out with me, and we did go out, he showed me that, hey, you know, I'm not afraid to be out with you. I'm gonna hold your hand. Yeah, so that was something that was really important, which I feel like a lot of people take for granted because they're like, why would that be something that's important? But yeah, it was for me.
So how long have you two been together?
It's been like 2 years, about like around Valentine's Day, really?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
2 years.
Valentine's Day is your anniversary.
That's how Scorpios are made, yes. Isn't it?
Are Scorpios like bad people or something like that? I don't know that much about astrology. Other than the fact that I'm a Cancer and I be sad all the time.
Yeah, we had fell off though, like the first Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah. Well, we fell off because he said he wanted to be my Valentine. And then when Valentine's Day came around, I didn't hear nothing about Valentine's no more. So I said, oh, okay, well, fuck you then.
Because she ain't text me back though. I was waiting for her to text me back. And then I already had the stereotype in my head that she just fuck with cis men. And like how transparent she was kind of made me uncomfortable in a way. Because I was thinking that I was like the good girlfriend or something. Like I was the friend. I thought I was friend zoned at first because I was unsure. And so she was very transparent. She was like, yeah, I like to go on dates and I like to have fun. And this is what happened when I'm with niggas type of thing. So it was just like, oh, okay. So I was unsure. And then she ain't text me back when I, you know, had text her like maybe a week before Valentine's Day. And I was like, oh, I knew it. All them trannies just like to fuck around with fuck around with cis men and that's it. So yeah, that's
wait,
what I
so
thought.
Mia, why didn't you text him back? What happened?
See, there's a miscommunication, but no worries. I'll clear that up. So he didn't text me. I didn't get the text message. I wish we could pull up the text messages because I didn't get text messages. Okay, because I was looking for the text message. Every time I got for work, no text message. So trust me, I was waiting on this Valentine's. But anyway.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that at all?
I really text you. You didn't text me back.
See?
I guess.
I guess there was a miscommunication because I didn't get a text message.
You just got to blame like the iPhone or something like that.
Facts. Somebody got an Android in this relationship.
Right? No, but see, we both have iPhones, and y'all, he didn't text me back until after Valentine's. Thank you.
The lies. That's a very suspicious thing to do again. No, I started talking to another girl.
Exactly.
After I was like, okay, she don't really fuck with me like that. And then after me and the girl fell off, I was like, oh yeah, I really liked her. I was unsure, but I'm gonna hit her up and see what's going on. She was telling me how, you know, different hairstyles I should try out. And then I had got my hair cut for the first time, and I just showed her, and she was like, "That's cute," and it went from there. It was weird. It was weird.
Yeah, so I gave him another shot. When no
now look,
yeah, here we are today. Aww.
Yes.
So Mia, you were talking about like the importance of the fact that you wanted Z to know that you wanted to go out and that he wouldn't be like ashamed of you or anything like that. And then Z, you thought that Mia was the type of trans woman who only dated cisgender men. So had either of you dated other trans people before each other?
I've talked to two of them before, never met up in person, but it was like, I don't know. It wasn't anything like contact wise.
I talked to some trans men, but I never met up with them the same like him. So we were actually the first, well, he was the first trans guy that I actually decided to give it a try and see where it would go. Because it was all like this was all foreign to me. But I'm glad that I gave you a try.
Wait, you cut out for a little bit. Did you say dick was important to you? Wait, did I? Oh shit, I misheard that. Holy, we gotta blame the iPhone again because you cut out and it's. I heard k was important to me. And being the host of Inner Hoe Uprising, I was just like, oh, dick.
Of course, you said
yes,
dick.
There can't be anything else that ends in TK.
Me is the whole top.
Right? No, that is important. Yes, it is. But okay. What was I saying? I don't remember what I said.
Honestly. Is it important?
What is it?
She was basically saying, was it important? Like, was dick important?
I mean, it is important, but I mean, that wasn't something that I needed. Like,
It wasn't a deal breaker.
It's not a need for me. Mm-hmm. Like someone's genitals doesn't make who they are. And I think the reason why I think like that is because of my experience as a trans woman. I can look past that. So I was saying that I haven't dated another trans person before. I dated Z. Just like him, I did have conversations with other trans men, but we never met up. So just because it wasn't convenient. Most of the guys that I was talking to were out of state and just like, I'm not good with long distance connection anyways, unless we've met before in person. So those really don't work for me. But once I found somebody in town, I was like, oh, okay, we can make this pop. And then we started the show. Well, me and Diamond started the show, Marsha's Plate. And we was like, we need something extra because, you know, it's just us. So we need a masculine point of view. And so we invited Z.
That was one of the later questions that I had. But since you brought it up, I'll just go into it. What is it like hosting a podcast with your significant other?
It's very interesting because you can see like your flaws in your relationship, because we decided that we wanted to be authentic and just raw and share our experience just to show people that, hey, we are human too. And we're just like you. We just live our lives a little bit different. And so we decided to bring our relationship and the positive and the negative things about it. And well, not negative, were the conflicts that we had. And we got a really, really good perspective. Of course, we had Diamond to help mediate things. Mm-hmm. So she gave us a great perspective on the podcast. And not only that, we got a lot of perspective from our viewers. Some of it, sometimes it could have been hard because when you say things out in public, it's like you can't take them back. So it was a lot of things that I was like, dang, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or maybe I don't want people to know that about me. But then again, I am human just like everyone else. And I decided, hey, you know, it is what it is. And it was great for me. What about you, Z?
What was cool for me is we actually weren't officially together when we started the podcast. And also, at the time I discovered to go off of hormones at one point, I came across Diamond's YouTube and she was kind of talking about it. And then when I saw her, it was cool. Like, it was really dope, like being able to see her in person. I didn't even know who Mia was introducing me to. It was kind of just like, oh yeah, were you interested in a podcast with me and my friend Diamond? I was like, oh, okay, cool. And Vanessa at the time. I was like, yeah, that would be cool. And then I met Diamond, and then it made me and Mia grow together in a way, because it's a form of bonding for us. This podcast is a form of therapy for us as well. And then having so much support and feedback as far as us, and nobody even knew we were together from the beginning, actually. And then it came out like after like maybe the fourth episode, when, you know, we had stated that we were together, and people were like, we knew where y'all were going to end up together. And it was just really cool for us to really just evolve together and be a part of a project together to help better the community and help people be aware of the trials we go through. And us being so transparent, it's like a double-edged sword for me, of course, because I'm mostly the problematic, you know, the problematic factor in the relationship, if you reflect. Well, in my eyes, because I, you know, I have been a big problem for her. So yeah, I learned fast though, Diamond says. but thanks to her in a lot of situations. But it's been really fun for us. It's just cool to get so much positive feedback and a lot of family.
And constructive criticism.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You two have the cutest relationship of all time. It's just cute in so many ways. Yeah.
Thank you.
How is it this cute?
Get me tight. No, I really love it.
So, a question for you both. What support do you get from each other as two trans people in a relationship? Like, such as, is there another kind of support that you get from each other that you didn't get from cis partners?
Well, for me, the support we get is, you know, kind of just confirming each other, confirming each other's gender, confirming that, hey, your dysphoria is valid, but don't let it get you down, you know. Of course, there's a different understanding of dysphoria and how the intersections of the binaries play a part, a big part in how most of them are bullshit. So mainly around the dysphoria part, you know, having to pump up each other's head like, hey, no, this, there's no such thing as woman enough, no such thing as man enough. You are woman enough, or you are man enough. And we kind of got part of that, past that, part as, you know, understanding of the hardships, I would say. So the support is a lot different just because of the simple fact that we're both trans.
The difference for me, like dating a cis man, it's like you have to go in detail and in order for them to understand the type of hardships that you're going through as a trans woman. And they kind of want you to fit this specific type of woman. Like they're always looking for this, what is it that makes you look trans, or what, or you always got to fit this box, or women do this and women don't do that, and they're always in the binary. So with Z dating a trans man, I was able to see that, hey, I don't have to be in these boxes in order for me to be respected as a woman. I can be who I am and my womanhood still be valid. And that's something that was really important to me. However, I'm not gonna lie, I do sometimes put Z in some binary boxes like, nigga, the trash need to be taken out. I'm not taking out the trash. Like,
and I'd be like, okay, but you work from home.
But bruh,
you can take it out. I'd be at work all day. I'd be doing doubles. And then I'd be like, okay, I'll fucking take it out.
But bruh, I clean the bathroom like it's no tomorrow. So there should be no reason. I'm scrubbing the tub. That's hard, but doing this exercise, okay? You can take out the trash on the way out to work now. But yeah, those little intricate details that you have to tell cis men. And I'm not going to discredit some cis men, because there are some cis men that are just as educated about trans women, because they are trans attracted. However, they do come few, and most of them are, for lack of a better term, chasers. Yes, chasers. So basically the men that objectify trans women, they know all about us, but it's just not in a good way. But yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Also, for me, the difference, I can't really say as far as cis women, because all the cis women that I've dated while I've been trans have only been, it's only been like two, or, and then one of them was just a sex buddy. So it's hard for me to say, cause she's had more experience. You know, the ratio is different. So it's just hard for me. It's just hard for me to say the big difference. Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of the cis women have been supportive, but one of them kind of made me feel like it in a way, because it seemed like she was doing it because the trans thing is in a way. So like, we're just coming to the spotlight. So it seemed like that's what her intentions were. So I kind of saw the different side of like the nasty side of how some cis women would do a lot of things for attention. So, you know, and as far as the man side, they do it. It seems like a lot of the problematic stuff they go through is like the toxic masculinity part, and the unsureness of their sexuality part, and the binaries. Yeah, their manhood. With the dark side for me was just cis women just doing it because it's just like the end thing.
How did you like detect that from the cis women? Like, what put you on that, like, they were acting weird?
When I started to be more visible, and like, mind you, she's been knowing me since I was in like 11th grade, and like, she's been kind of like, oh, like, you're cute and blah blah, and then like, she was kind of like, oh no, like, she'll bring up old me a lot. Like, she'll like send me old pictures of me and be like, oh, like, I miss you, like, this. It was just like, but it wasn't really like that ugly, I would say. It wasn't really that ugly. It was just like, you could just catch it. Like, her bringing up my past and me from the past a lot. And then her just randomly coming to me when I started to be more visible and do things and put myself out there. She came out of nowhere, you know, using my vulnerability to her to kind of like leash me in a way. So like after it ended and after she stopped wanting to deal with me, then that's when I was like, oh, wow, I didn't see this. And I dealt with her again after me and Mia stopped talking after that Valentine's Day. So I was like, God damn it. I should have just forced myself on me. Not forced myself on me, but like been more consistent, I guess, with her. I wouldn't have to have dealt with that lady.
And I guess I can kind of do a spin on how men did that to me. Like the way that they objectified me was by, I think that, okay, first of all, I want to say that I feel like men are already kind of pre-programmed to do spin on women to get what they want. So they would tell me all these bomb things, invite me around their friends, but then they didn't want to commit. And so it seemed like it was always come over tonight, or you could come over here, and when I would be like, oh, you want to go to the movies or something, or you want to do this? Oh no, I'm just a Netflix and chill type of person. I don't do the movies, or I don't like to go out. I don't like all that. And it was just like, okay, I know how to place them. This is where they're going to be at. But then I figured out that trans men was the answer for me, basically. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I have to deal with that. And then I'm not saying that all trans men are the same, because I haven't dated all of them and I don't plan on to, but with the one that I'm with is bomb.
Are there any hardships that you two go through because you are a trans couple?
Yeah. Well, most recently, it was the family aspect. So if you listen to the podcast, you know that this is my very first relationship. So I've always been nervous about meeting family. And that's like, I think that's with everybody. Like, you're, oh my gosh, I wonder how the father's going to think of me, or I wonder what the mother, or, you know, whoever you're going to meet, because you want to make the best impression. And baby, baby, listen. Being from the South, they still be in those boxes. And it was really hard, because I was real, you were nice and sweet to everyone. And then everybody was like, oh no, no ma'am, you were born a man. You still have a penis. You're not welcome over here for graduations, for birthdays, for Christmas. Don't come
over. They didn't
do
all that.
I'm being dramatic, but baby.
But
it was just okay. That was hard for me. Go ahead.
I would say most of the hardships for me revolved around the oppression and how much it affects her and myself, from simple things like going to the store at night, going out to clubs, afraid for her life, knowing that Black trans women's life expectancy is only 30. 35. Okay, 35.
You give us all 5 years.
Right. But most of these are what, you know, women, period, deal with. So it's just a lot for me, especially her being trans. It's just a lot for me. And like, in knowing if I get quote unquote clogged, like seeing recent trans men get bashed, not just recent, but like seeing it become a thing, like trans men are really getting bashed in public. Like, it's just something you're afraid of for somebody you love, you know what I'm saying? And seeing all these videos back to back and these stories of all these trans women getting killed, it's just like, it's scary. That's one of the biggest hardships for me. Like, like for instance, if you hear on the podcast, one of the stories where I kind of drifted away from her, you know, one of her worst fears, I drifted away from her at the store. You know, it was an empty store, but it was kind of like a moment where I was just like, I don't know, I was just like, afraid for a second, like, and I caught myself getting into that. I didn't want to get myself into that cycle, but I didn't want to, you know, I caught myself doing that when she really brought it up, and I was like, wow, like, because I unconsciously did it. So that, and also the dysphoria she deals with, you know, having to pump her head up that she's enough, she's really truly enough, and she's whole and a woman despite surgeries that she wants and doesn't want. Most of the hardships deal with, you know, the internal transphobia that we contain as well. And just the societal pressures for me.
I could say vice versa too. Because we kind of pump each other up because, you know, you have the same things you got going on mm-hmm. with dysphoria as far as being more muscular and mm-hmm. and all this extra. So, I mean, I could understand how being clocked was definitely one of the hardships because it put us both in positions where we were uncomfortable and we had to defend each other. And it was at a time where it just seemed like it was just coming back to back. Yeah. Like everybody kept trying.
We never learned how to navigate that. Like, I don't think we didn't even think about that. Yeah, we didn't even think about it though. Like, we didn't talk about it. Like, what would happen if you got clocked? Like, how would you handle it? Or what if somebody was mean to you in public? Like, how could we handle it to digress the situation, to keep the situation calm? Like, we never even thought about that. So it was just like an awakening that, oh mm-hmm. shit, like, we really in reality right now, this is real. Okay. And then that's when the conversations came on the podcast to where, you know, Diamond came along and kind of gave us that mediation.
And can y'all talk about a little bit about what happened through that, and even like mentioned the podcast episode that you discussed it on, but like, what was the plan in your relationship going forward? And what did you do in those moments?
So the mediation was coming to Diamond because me and Z was wearing each other out. Like, not literally, but because I come from a family of domestic violence, so I would not tolerate that. That's not okay for me. But verbally, we were going at it. That still could be violent, but I mean, we worked our way through that. But what I was saying was we came to Diamond with it, and Diamond's always a big voice of reason. She's been in relationships and she's been trans longer than both of us. So she always.
I'm the old bitch.
So she always puts things in perspective for us. Yes. And the reaction that I had when it happened, okay, Sam, I'm just gonna be honest. I don't know how to control myself when someone blatantly disrespects me to my face. And I've always been told when I was younger, baby, never let anyone disrespect you. And so I definitely choose the right way to handle situations. I try not to take them out of place. But sometimes my anger just gets the best of me because I don't understand the blatant disrespect is for some people who decide to be like, oh, that's a man or that's a nigga right in my face. Like, I'm not going to do nothing. Like, I see you. You're right in my face. Like, I'm just going to think, oh, okay. And I think getting older, I have gained a little bit more tolerance for it, but the way I handled it, I just went off on everybody. I'm not gonna lie, because some people have to be taught a lesson. I feel like if you want to try it with me, let me be the one to give you the example that you need. Because I just be thinking, I honestly think to myself, like, if I don't set an example, the next girl that walk past you, you're gonna do the exact same thing to them. So I want you to think twice next time you see someone like me. After I get through wearing you out. But,
okay, yeah, it was episode 29.
Okay, Z.
When I kind of talk about the quote-unquote shame. So, and you could just see it unraveling from that point on, really, in each episode. Just about each episode. All of the things we didn't realize and then realize, and then we would incorporate into a lot of our topics. So really from that point on, a lot of it is revolved around our relationship, but you get what I'm saying. So I honestly forgot the question.
the question has been answered. I kind of wanted to loop back around to the topic of family, because Mia, were you saying that Z's family doesn't fuck with you?
No, they don't care for me. His grandma told him, well, told her daughter to tell Z that I am not allowed to any of the family functions and I'm not supposed to come there. If we...
That's not a quote unquote.
That's not a quote unquote, but it's that's how it made me feel. Okay, so what's the quote for quote, Z? What's the quote for quote? This is your
so
family.
So my daddy and my mama love you.
Okay, I said your grandmother and your auntie.
But she was saying my family, period.
I was being specific.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, his grandmother invited us to her birthday party, and I thought that they didn't know that we were trans, but I guess they did, and that was some tea in itself. So I spoke to her at the birthday party, and I didn't understand why she didn't speak back. So I was like, "What's going on?" Because I thought I was getting through. So obviously everybody knew my tea, and then they end up telling confirming it and saying that, "Hey, you know." She's not allowed to come back over my house if I have any get-togethers or whatsoever. And his aunt was just saying at the Christmas dinner that if I was in her house, if me and Z was in her house, that we couldn't show any display of affection to each other. And yeah, she gave me this face. She did say that she was like, because she referred to your sister and her boyfriend. And
no, she was saying that's how it would be for her kids.
Right, but she did say that about it.
Well, what I got from, I know this was a question that was towards Mia, but I talked to my grandma.
That's fine.
My grandma says specifically, she was like, yeah, y'all are not allowed together. And I was like, well, what would be the difference if I came alone? And then she was like, well, I love you, of course, Z. Like, I love you, of course. So, but y'all together, I don't condone homosexuality. And I was like, well, if you want to think about it, we're basically, either way you want to put it, we're a straight heterosexual couple. She was like, no, I tell you why it's not. It's because you got to do all this crazy stuff to yourself to be able to say you a boy. And you're not a boy, no matter what you do to yourself. So it was basically aimed towards me. I was like, what? I was being smart. I was like, what if Mia came along? She was like, That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about y'all two together. Y'all can't come together. I just don't condone that. So I was like, okay.
Basically what I just said.
Basically.
That's fucked up.
Yes, it is. Baby.
That's fucked up. That's
baby.
That's the only takeaway I have from that. Is that, yeah. That is fucked up.
That is homosexuality. You acknowledge one.
Yeah, it all doesn't make any sense. Any way you spin it, it doesn't make any sense.
And I was just like, okay, have a nice day. That's all I want to know.
Yeah, she's kind of just like, I don't like it.
I don't condone it. I don't want you to.
Logically, I can't say why I don't like it. I just don't like it.
But I love you.
But I don't like it. The whole situation. I'm glad that your mom and dad love Mia. Mia, do your parents or does your family love Z?
Yes, his mom and dad are amazing. They're very awesome. They do have their points of views. Well, his father does, but he's just as accepting as my mom. Like, they're very Christian based. They have this saying, you know, what I love you, and what you got between you and God is between you and God. That T. So I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. As long as you don't disrespect me, we accept each other, then that's fine. You don't have to agree with the way I live my life, but you don't have to disrespect me. And that's all I ask for anyone. Hey, you may not agree with me being a trans woman or the way I live my life, but it's not causing you so much harm for you want to be disrespectful of the person that I am in general.
My mom gave her weed.
Yes, for Christmas. I said, come through, mother.
My mom is a Cali girl.
Your mom,
yeah,
what?
She's from California.
Oh, you say she's a hippie?
Yes.
No.
Oh, I just keep missing.
It's like, you repeat it and it just cuts out.
The phone will just cut off the very first part of what you say and I'm just filling in the blanks. My imagination is, I'm like, oh, she's a hippie. Cool. Free love, man.
What's that, man?
And before that, I said my mom gave me a weed.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the same
so
thing.
So I filled in the blanks properly.
Yeah.
So
not bad. Right. Okay.
Yes, you did. Cool. You did a good job.
I'm sorry.
Well, so even more on the subject of family, and if you're uncomfortable answering this question, feel free to not do so if it's like too early in your relationship, but do you all plan to start your own family one day?
Yes, I do. I don't know about her. What about you?
Well, I spend with each other.
Well, yes, I do. But however, I do understand the fundamental value of having a support system and a foundation for children. I feel like it's very important for children to be stable and to grow up in a stable environment. So I definitely want my shit together, quote unquote, before I do go into those type of waters.
But they fucking raw, so we gonna get a baby soon.
Ah!
Woo! Woo! Spilling this right.
Came out of nowhere with the tea.
Did you say that on mic in your studio though? Because I heard you loud and clear over here. So I got the tape regardless.
Right?
Well, we will be awaiting the cutest podcast baby.
Right? First podcast baby. Exactly.
Yeah, the first word is going to be podcast. Marsha's plate.
Yeah.
Are y'all a fan of marriage? Like, would you get married one day?
Ooh, are you a fan of marriage?
I am a fan of marriage. I want my marriage. I've already planned my marriage in my head. I'm very tropical.
Yeah, I would say I'm unsure about why marriage is like a thing anyway.
Oh, this is like, a did you know for the day.
I knew it was coming. I was unsure about why marriage was, you know, because I feel like it's mostly religion based. So I was like, but then I like the celebration of being together thing though. Like I love the big bash, the big party, the vows type of thing. Like I like that aspect of it, and you know,
but you don't like the commitment part.
Yeah, the commitment part too. Mm-hmm. I like that too, like the bond.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Was like, ooh.
I like the aesthetics of
what
it.
What you about to say?
Yeah. So I would say I'm a fan of it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, as long as we can get a little invite,
right? Just a little one.
Yeah.
It don't got to be to the ceremony. I just want to be at the after party,
the live podcast recording. Oh. At the reception.
It's gonna be lit.
Nah, that actually sounds really fun. Couple more questions. So on the show, Z, you mentioned this sometimes, like how Black women have influenced how you view feminism and Black feminism. And I'm assuming that Mia plays a role in that. So how has Mia changed your outlook on just like society and stuff like that?
It made me realize how exclusive it is to mostly cis women, of course. But nonetheless, on the same token, it's been Black women that made sure she is included before anybody ever made sure she was included. Yeah, so a lot of cis women have always been the ones that tried to keep people like Diamond and Mia included in Black feminism. Black women have always been the first to do literally everything. So it's interesting seeing how much Black women are starting to just say, who gives a fuck, even if I don't agree. Also, she shows me the importance of not shunning the Black women that decide to be feminine all the time, because you never know why she likes being dolled up, and that could just be her. There's also many layers as to why Black women do what they do for protection, even when it comes to simple things like how you choose to present, like how you choose to do your makeup. I see all of the issues that she deals with that includes women in general. So it just made me really see the intersections of feminism altogether, really.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And Mia, on the flip side, what has it been like educating Z on certain aspects of feminism?
Trying to show him that trans women are a part of the movement as well, but not something that he needed to know, but just that we are included, and we don't have to be in those boxes. And the way I do present myself, as he was saying, is a part of every aspect of feminism. I try not to put myself in boxes, and the way that we talk about that in our relationship, it's when I talk to other people, other cis women, they're like, wait a minute, so Z don't pay for all the meals, or Z don't, like, y'all don't do these certain things. And I'm like, no, we're not traditional like that. We decide that we don't want to be in those boxes, and we're okay with that. That's okay if you want to be in those boxes. That's fine. But that's just not the way that we are.
And it's not even like we had the conversation a lot. It was just like naturally, like, me is like the type of person where she like, I got to do shit on my own. Like, I don't like to ask for help. She don't really like to ask for help. And so I, in a way, step into that box like, no, I'm going to take the initiative here as far as this. Like, I'm going to take care of you as best as possible. I'm going to be like your crutch. So that's when I feel like that just comes with being a partner, period. I don't really think that has to do with like being a man, manning up, but it's just like, that's just how I am. So I'll be trying to get that, you know, get that quote unquote masculine trait out of her.
But like, hold on. What do you mean masculine? First of all, I got that from my mama.
Oh, okay.
And so my mother.
But it's seen as masculine in the world. Mm-hmm. If you
make it right. Go ahead.
It's seen as masculine by society if you don't decide to just
let a man be a man.
Yeah, just let a man do everything. I mean, wait, what?
That's what you're, hey, you agree with it.
No, not let a man do everything, I guess I should say.
But my mother, she was just the type that she just did everything on her own, and she just made a way. And that's something that I mimicked and I admired about her, because she always, she made it work, baby.
She didn't want to. She wanted a man to take care of everything, too. She just had to, because her baby was sorry.
It's coming through with the tea.
Diamond has all done the cover too.
So just to give a background to the question. So I came out as trans in like 2016, and me and Sam went to this Trans Day of Remembrance event. Remember that? And that was my first time ever seeing a trans couple. And I wasn't surprised. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. It's just like a normal relationship just with two trans people.
You're talking
like,
about Sasha and Olympia?
I think so.
They are so cute.
I know.
Those are my good friends.
Oh, my God. Really?
Those are my good friends.
Yeah, I love them.
Trans world be small and shit. But it was just like, it was just something that I've never seen. And, you know, it didn't, of course, why would it bother me? I was just like, wow, like, this is a thing. That means, like, hey, there might be hope for me, like, dating a trans person, even though there isn't. But
New York City is hard,
y'all. New York City is a next level place, man. This shit is next level. But in the same token, I've seen a lot of mostly cishet men being confused about trans couples, especially when a trans man is pregnant by a trans woman. Or just the gender roles that exist within a trans relationship. Are these things that cis people have come to you with, like, just general confusion? And how do you navigate that conversation without internalizing it?
That's interesting. That's a very interesting question. I've had conversations with my sister and another trans woman, which is my friend, and I've asked them questions like, "Oh, how would you feel being in a relationship with a trans man?" And sometimes it seems like they can't get over the body part of a trans individual, like the body parts, and they can't look past that and see that they're a man. And when I did ask my sister, hey, you know, what do you think about being in a relationship with a trans man? Do you think you could do it? And she was like, no, because I've already dated women, and I don't think I could deal with the emotional baggage. And I was like, women? So what are you calling me? Are you calling me a man?
Exactly. What?
Like, what? And she was like, no, but you get the honest answers, like those honest answers of how they actually view trans women and trans men. And so, and right, instead of the politically correct response that they would normally give in a different environment. And so it shows me that they still are in those boxes. But I try to navigate their mind frame as far as let them know, hey, you know, this is what you're doing and this is not okay. Like, you're putting them, you're defining this person based on their gender and not how they represent themselves. And that can be kind of hard sometimes, especially when this person is always in these head norm boxes.
Yeah, it's basically the same for me. Like, when people come to me about confusion, I don't really internalize it as negative. Sometimes it gets tiring because I don't want to be on the education mode all the time. But I choose to be more compassionate towards these questions because a lot of people really just don't know. And you might be the only trans person they love at the current moment or the only trans person they know at the current moment. So I just choose to be a little more compassionate and try to teach them the correct language while in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the questions, I don't really get a lot of personal questions. I really don't get a lot of personal questions.
Yes, you
like
did.
That.
Maybe they ask you how we have sex.
Who?
Your friends have asked you how we had sex, and even when you were at work.
Oh, yeah, I had like one friend. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Some people have asked me, but it would be people like I'm like super cool with, and that's to be expected. Like, usually that's what friends do. They talk about, like, if you don't, like, you hear a lot of women saying, yeah, girl, you got some good dick, or blah, blah, blah. Or like, like, niggas especially would be like, yeah, pussy, and they'll talk about if the other friend ran into it. And if they friend fucked it and all types of shit. So I mean, it's to be expected. I would say a lot of my friends have been most respectful. I don't get offended when people ask me how I have sex with Mia, but it's kind of weird because it's like, why do you fuck do you care? But then it's like, yeah, to be expected. I don't know, it's not a surprise to me. I don't really internalize that.
It's kind of like regular friend questions, but taking it like a step deeper that cisgender people don't take with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never be like, so how did you fuck him though? Like,
I need details. Can I get a step-by-step play of exactly how you
draw
it
on a diagram for me? Like, nah,
no,
that's
problem,
fine.
Sam.
That's fine. I just have one more question, Rob. I don't know if you have any questions after this, but sometimes on the show it's kind of cute because everybody's generational differences kind of come out. So Diamond be like, yeah, I'm the old, not to call you an old bitch, Diamond, because you know how I feel about you. But that's kind of the position that you play. And then me, I feel like where you, me, and Rob are in the same generational diagraphic?
Diagraphic.
What
right.
am I trying to say?
Demographic.
Yes.
Words, they escape me. And then Z, you're kind of like just underneath millennial. So how does it's like a slight generational difference, but we kind of hear it come out in the show. Does that have any influence on your relationship at all?
I would say she's more set in her ways than I am, and I'm more like adventurous in a way. Like, I'm willing to take more risk. I'm willing to try different things a lot and do a lot of wild shit, but she brings me back to the middle. Like, okay, no, I've observed people longer than you. This is what it is. No. Like, she points out things that I'll be ignorant to, if that makes sense. Like, it really helps me. That's why I'd rather date someone older than me. I'd rather date her. Shit. I'd rather date someone her age. Yeah.
Well, as far as the gap is concerned, the reason why I dated Z at his age, I don't go for younger guys. I don't go for older guys. I just I seen that Z was very, very mature, and he just in him being of trans experience, it showed me a different aspect of things. So those lines of being trans helped a lot because, like I stated earlier, it was just a lot of stuff that I don't have to explain to him that makes being in a relationship with him very comfortable.
Do you feel like any any clash with me being young though?
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. There are some things that I try to explain to you and you could just be so hot-headed and just like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And then when the shit hit the fan, you'd be like, Mia, you was right.
That's an age thing.
I mean, that's how I feel. So, I mean, those small little things, but that's about it, really, to be honest.
I think she likes to teach me.
Like the teacher?
She likes the fact that I'm young so she could teach me.
I feel like a cougar.
Well, y'all are so fucking cute. I cannot reiterate that enough times that y'all are mad.
Thank
cute.
You, Sam.
Relationship goals, dead ass. Cool. So, Rob, you don't have any more questions, right?
No, I'm smooth.
Cool. So, tell us about where we can find you all on the internet and where we can listen to Marsha's Plate.
You can listen to us on Marsha's Plate on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes,
iCloud.
Stitcher. Did I already say that?
or Google Play for Android users.
Google Play, too. really, you could just Google us. All the different websites pop up.
That's true.
Marsha's yes. Plate. You can find me on Twitter as Zahir Ray. That's R-A-Y-E.
How do you spell Zahir?
Z-A-H-I-R. On Instagram, same thing. Yeah.
So you can find me on Marsha's Plate. We have Instagram, we have Twitter, and my Instagram is Mia Michelle, MIAMICHELLE. And
three L's.
It's not three L's.
Oh, no, it's not.
Okay, I'm so sorry. No worries, guys. Sorry about the interruption. And then on Twitter, Mia Mix, MIAMIX. And on Facebook, I don't know if I want to do Facebook.
Yeah, I left mine out too.
That's most of my family and stuff. That's like, that go back way in high school. You see them embarrassing pictures.
Yeah, don't expose that. People will come out of the woodworks trying to send you a friend request. Yeah,
a poke. When they used to send pokes back in the day. Oh my gosh.
Poke.
Yeah, Facebook is a weird place sometimes. But okay, thank y'all.
Thank you for having us, Sam and Rob.
And that was a really cool interview, yeah?
Yes, it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, that made me feel nice.
It did. And it's just like, it was just so important. It's so important to hear about trans people from trans people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to guess if there's people who are willing to talk about it.
What?
We don't have to guess. Like, people who are like confused, like, how does trans couples work and how do you guys have sex? Well, now you know. That's not your fucking business.
Yeah, exactly.
A trans person, so it's none of your business.
Exactly.
Stop asking those questions.
Exactly.
But it's important for trans people to use their own voices to tell their own stories.
Yes.
Second, it's important for Black people to use their own voices to tell their own stories.
These are all facts, and it's important for Black trans people to tell their own stories.
Intersections.
Yeah, definitely listen to Marsha's Plate. It's a good show, honestly. They're fun, they're smart, they're funny, and then you can hear like the communal vibe. And then also, like, if you are a cisgender person who's just like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on, well, like, people make shows for themselves, but also, like, the show exists. Like, you don't have to like slide into a trans person's DMs like, how are you doing this or whatever, how's your experience with this.
Yes,
just listen to a dope ass podcast. All of the links where you can find Marsha's Plate will be in the description for this episode, along with where you can follow us on social media. But if you don't want to look at it, I'll tell you right now, you can follow us at Inner Heart Uprising Without the G on Twitter, helmed by Rob right now.
Yes,
so if you're
that's
laughing,
why
it's
so
because
fucking
of them.
Funny. It's so funny that I funny. Be crying at my own tweets. Going viral out here. Yes.
Thank you, Rob. And you can also follow us at Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram, which is helmed by Akua. She's not here to speak for herself, but I'm sure she's crying at her own post or something
I'm
like
dead.
That.
No, nobody's that much of a narcissist.
I'm weak.
It's just me.
Weak. You can also follow us on Facebook. We are in the process of making a Facebook group, if that's the kind of thing that you're into, and that will be helmed by Rodeca, and that is me officially washing my hands of all social media. But yeah, you can also go to innerhouseuprising.com to pay a bitch or check out merchandise, and you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, or at Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos.
And you can follow me at panafrican.bootyscratch on Instagram. And I'm sorry, well, I'm not sorry. You guys never sent me any recommendations.
Oh.
I'm just assuming that you want me to keep it, so I'm just gonna fucking keep it. You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Your silence is complacency.
Ramadan Kareem, congratulations. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, my depression filled Twitter, it is RobD_God.
Nice.
Holla at me. Bless you.
Excuse me. Thank
Please
you.
Leave that in.
I'm not a fan of burps. I burped, if you wanted to know, but I did cut it out. Bye.
Bye.